government, music, art, health, science, theology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth. And when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I will be with you for the next hour on this August the 3rd on the West Coast of the United States, August the 4th on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. Of course, it's August the 4th everywhere else to the east of the East Coast, and that includes Bermuda and the Bahamas and Cuba and places like England, Ireland, Scotland, Sweden, Germany, France, Italy, Spain, on and on and on, all the way over to Sochi, Russia, Kazan, Russia, Brisbane, and the outback of Australia, New Zealand. We welcome all the folks who are listening on Blog Talk Radio and Wind Talkers Radio Network. So nice to have everyone with us tonight. Hope you're hearing the sound loud and clear. To me, it's 10 by 10 right now. We got the Skype Silk happening, and man, I got to tell you, my music sounded clear in the headphones playing back. Sound right on, Seth. That's how the sound should be. I think Skype has improved drastically over the past couple of weeks, and they've had some problems recently, a lot of usage and slowed down, and the quality was suffering, and they got their act together. So congratulations to them. That's going to make this archive and the live broadcast much clearer. Well, what are we going to talk about tonight? Lots of interesting things. There have been some bombshell bits of research that I have run into. Some of this has been precipitated by my publishers and editors at the Idaho Observer, Don Harkins and Ingrid Castle. In fact, tomorrow night, my special guest will be Don Harkins from the Idaho Observer. And also by tonight's guest, he alerted me to the fact that someone had been liberally using my research in articles that he was posting, and he was really painting his own little picture, not crediting my research, not crediting the Idaho Observer, nor my editor, nor my publishers, and we take great offense, particularly I do this go-around, because this person should know better. This person teaches college at the Brooklyn College. He teaches a course in economics. He's teaching the police department in New York City ethics and other issues of morality and how to maintain their cool. And this guy goes on the web stealing my groundbreaking research, I will say, and this isn't ego talking. I know this is groundbreaking research because of some of the information that I uncovered today. And we are going to get to this information a little bit later in the show. But before I go on and on and on with the rant here, I'm going to bring tonight's guest. I brought him on the first broadcast of the month of August. And I'm not into wishing usurpers happy birthdays. In that light, it's a momentous day because of what we're about to do. Now, we've lost our guest here, so we're going to try to get him back on. And if you'll bear with me, I'm going to try to do that myself. This is a first. So hold on here. If he's still online, I'm going to get him. And I promise you, I will do that. And I'm about to do that right now. And you may be able to hear the phone ring, and yep. If he picks up, there he is. Okay, welcome back to the show. This is my guest. He owns his own website, hosts his own website on the Internet. It's called educate-yourself.org. He is a metaphysical scientist, a researcher, a journalist par excellence. He is a very, very diversified individual when it comes to truth seekers. I just have nothing but good things to say about him. He's become a very valuable asset to me as a co-researcher, someone who helps me in analyzing photos and getting you the best copies out that we can, because I don't play around with these, and neither does he. He's got the software, and he's contributed much to my website, not just in the promotion, but the actual content. And he's my good friend, Ken Adachi. Ken, welcome to Evident Footprints.
Thank you very much, Don. Appreciate being on with you again. It's always a pleasure, and I'm glad we were able to reconnect so quickly after that initial unexpected snafu.
Yeah. That's going to happen from time to time, but we just have to regroup. Trust, if I see you disappear, I'm going to get you back, okay? we're going to break a leg, as they say in the business, but we're going to do it. Ken, I want to start off tonight, if I may, and reference something that I was able to discuss at some length. You were actually a real-time participant in this yesterday. You alerted me to the fact that this character out there on the internet was stealing my research in huge chunks without attribution. For those of you out there that don't have your dictionaries, without credit is what I mean to say. Taking the research, using it as his own, and since he didn't name me, tonight we're going to name him. I'm going to show him that it is polite to give attribution, and especially when plagiarism takes place. So that's a little bit different twist on ethics, and maybe Mr. Langbert, Mitchell Langbert, will learn a lesson from this. I haven't decided what I'm going to do legally yet, although I know I've got a very solid case already, just on the basis of what's been done. But this plays into a much larger role, and everything you and I are going to talk about tonight is going to play into this role. So I think you can see where I'm leading you. You alerted me to the fact that that you had seen this posted on a website. You went to the article and started reading it. Would you share with the listening audience here tonight on Evident Footprints your own impressions of what you saw?
Well, naturally, I was curious. The title of the article was, "Is Stanley Ann Dunham Still Alive?" So naturally, I became curious to read what this article is about, since that is the centerpiece of your research on the quote Obama family, which we know now is simply a fictitious, we contrived a brainchild of the CIA. Everyone who we've been told is Obama's mother, his grandparents, etc., are not truly the relations to Barack Obama that we've been told. And beyond that, all the attempts that have been foisted on the public to sell this, quote, family and their, quote, genealogy to the public, starting with Barack's jumping into the Democratic primary a little bit over 2 years ago, all the information and the photos particularly that they've been, their camp has been selling us, what Barack himself has alluded to in his, what we're told are his books, etc., it's all fiction. And you played a very important role in examining the fiction of the documentation, following up the genealogy, and then you went further and you started to examine the photographs. And I had participated with you in this early on because we started to look at anomalies in some of these photographs which were posted of Obama as a younger person. But from there you went into more depth, in which you started to notice there's too many oddities to the photos, and you started to question the authenticity of the photos themselves. So, you've been doing now a 7-part series. It's up to 7 parts, called The Three Stooges Go to Washington. And, of course, you put out the first series when they were still running in the primary, McCain, Clinton, Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama were still running in the primaries prior to the general election in November 2008. So, the parts which you had put up in April and then in September of 2008 includes the whole notion of the idea that Stanley Ann Dunham, she had the name Sotoro, or Obama when she was purportedly married to Barack
or so
Obama.
Sophia Maduna.
Yeah, right.
One. Yeah.
The storyline is that she had died of cancer in Hawaii in 1995. And there is no real proof of that because there's no proof of a hospital that she stayed in, no proof of attending physicians, no proof of nurses who attended her in her final days. And all we got over the internet was that, you know, they had, quote, a memorial service, and Barack shows up to help spread her ashes over the Pacific. That's the story we're given. Well, you found out that it appears the woman did not die at all. Her death was faked, as many of CIA operative deaths are faked.
Kenneth Lay.
Yeah.
Timothy McVeigh.
Probably is as good an example as any. There's many examples of this. We know, for instance, from the revelations of Otto Skorzeny himself in his discussions with Eric Orion. He said, well, the CIA faked my death in 1975 in Spain. So Joseph Mengele's death was, quote, faked in 1979 in Brazil. There was a lot of individuals whose deaths are faked. So they can conveniently become a non-person or a spook, as they're called in the business.
Yes.
They continue their nefarious conduct, but now they no longer are recognized as being alive by the public. So there is strong evidence that that is the case with this woman who, it seems now, again, based on your research, is not actually the biological mother of Barack Obama. She was rather a surrogate, a person who was handed the child and given the job of pretending to be.
Yeah, and we don't even know that this so-called child that's alleged to have been in her possession was Barack Obama, do we? We don't know that.
Well, I don't know that for a fact, but
yeah,
for an absolute fact. But, you know, the photos look sufficiently convincing to me, but it could be they're just constructed photos, like many of the other photos that
yes
have discovered when you were able to find many incontrovertible anomalies in too many photos.
Mm-hmm.
We won't list them all here, but you've done it in your stories.
Yeah.
The Three Stooges series. Okay, let's
fast
forward.
So you go to this guy's website.
Yeah, so I go to this, I read this blog, and the blog is material put up by a guy named Mitchell Langbert, who, you know, has a description of who he is on another blog, and he has this photo there, and anyway, he's about a 55-year-old guy, he essentially, in this very, very long blog entry, is reviewing the revelations that you put up in your Three Stooges series about, you know, the doubtfulness of Stanley Ann Dunham being A, dead, B, his actual mother, etc. And he never mentioned your name or your website or the Idaho Observer, where you publish this material, besides your website, in his, quote, his blog with his research. So this guy stole your material, runs with it as if he is the author of it, as if he is the one who discovered all these things. And of course, that is a no-no. It's called plagiarism. It's called copyright infringement. Yeah. And people who do it are criminally liable and civilly liable. So this guy is quite a piece of work. He apparently claims to be a college professor, and worse, he claims to be teaches courses in ethics. Now, that's amazing. A guy who's a college professor teaching courses in ethics is a first-rate, low-down thief and plagiarizer. So this incenses me greatly. I'm sure it bothered you. I've had my material taken, lifted, original research. No one else discovered it but I. I write stories about it. I've had my material stolen, not only content and paraphrased, and others, you know, bloggers typically want to tell the whole blog world about it, and they just happen to forget to say where they got the material from. They're stealing.
Although he went to great pains to use the phrase an undisclosed source or an anonymous source, that type of language.
Yeah, he paralleled your research. In other words, he, using his own words, but he paralleled the discoveries that you revealed.
Well, he used the exact quotes to tell you.
Okay, well, I'm getting that. Yeah. That's one thing he did.
Yeah.
The second thing he did is he lifted entire paragraphs, word for word, from your article. He put quotes around them, and he says these quotes are attributed to an undisclosed source. Now, the only one who's not disclosing the source is Mitchell Langbert. He doesn't tell you that. He knows perfectly well who the source is because he's stealing it from Don Nikoloff. So that's why we're having this little conversation, because we want to make a record of this guy's thievery, and we're going to write some articles about plagiarists. And it is infuriating. Anyone who has been on the receiving end of plagiarism knows how galling it is. It's like an inventor. He invents a new invention. Let's say he even gets a patent, okay? He announces to the world, I have this great invention. This is how it works. Some days or weeks later, a blogger shows up to explain to the world this wonderful new idea or invention that he's discovered. In other words, he simply cuts the original discoverer out of the loop and talks about it as if he was the discoverer of that.
Mm-hmm.
That's what this man has done. He's stolen someone else's rightful intellectual property. And people who do that need to be publicly condemned, censored, and this guy needs to suffer some legal recourse. So,
well, okay, so you notified me, and within a matter of seconds, I had basically given a read on the guy, and then, what, it took maybe 5 minutes, 10 minutes at the most, I came up with a slew of, let's say, trails, or evident footprints, we could call them. And I knew basically everything I needed to know for the time being, who this guy was and who he was operating or likely operating for. Is it a coincidence that this guy got his PhD from Columbia University, the school where Obama supposedly went?
And Zbigniew Brzezinski used to.
Yeah, and Brzezinski used to teach there. Well, he was a professor there, you see. And he's not teaching there, this individual that we're talking about, but I found it very compelling. And I called the college, and the college is making demands upon me to disclose who I am and what the circumstances are. In light of that whole issue, excuse me a second. I'm getting a chat message, and someone is calling in thinking that Dr. Qasem Khalil is on tonight. You were probably listening to a rebroadcast of a show from last February, And he was on my show at that time. He wasn't supposed to be on tonight. But we have an excellent guest on tonight. So if you're listening, stay tuned. You're going to hear something that you wouldn't even hear if Dr. K was on the show. So basically I informed the college, and I'm just letting the listening audience know that I'm telling the truth about this, that it's not an issue of me identifying who I am. I'm notifying the college that they are actually harboring a plagiarist in their ethics and their economics department. And I'm just getting to the bottom of, does he work there? Because in my pursuit of some information on Mr. Langbert, I found that his 2008 political contribution to the campaign of George K. Phillips, a Republican, was listed. He was listed as retired. And I found that interesting. Here he is on this web blog in 2008 telling everybody he teaches at the college, and his campaign contribution is retired. Do we have a little tax fraud going on here, too? So these are just the facts that I found in the research. Now, I have no reason to think that anybody fudged those records as far as his campaign contribution. We know that that goes on all the time. We know that Barack Obama raised $1 billion in $20 contributions on the Internet. Don't we? So there, this is pointing in a direction, okay? And why is this done? Well, this is the way to muddy up the waters and ruin the integrity of my research by having an individual go out and do this. This is no small little fish here, okay? This is a college professor at a somewhat major school. Or at least they were treating me like they were a major school. So I wanted to make that point. And we don't have to belabor this issue tonight. We will bring out more on it. If you have anything else that you would like to say before we shift gears, be my guest. You are my guest. Anyway.
Well, yeah. Well, I just, you know, need to make it clear. It's very upsetting to people who write present original research to the public via the internet for free, to have it stolen from you. It's happened to me on numerous occasions over the years. It takes a lot of time and effort to try to go after the plagiarist, to try to go after servers, etc. It happened to John Coleman, Dr. John Coleman, a great deal. And it's to be considered, you know, something that only people without any sense of integrity, without any sense of ethics, without any ability to create or to do any decent research on their own, it's a low thing to do. It's a very low thing to do. And in this case...
And this isn't a trivial matter we're talking about here. We're talking about a usurper in the White House, okay?
Yeah.
As Drew Rain says, we're talking about somebody who can't even prove they're human.
Yeah, so. Right. So, yeah, so I hope you do pursue this. This guy needs to be exposed for the plagiarist that he is, and hopefully you'll send, if he's adequately exposed. So I'm sure many people don't know his name. I didn't know his name prior to reading his plagiarized article of your work, but it's not the sort of reputation that I would want to gain, and I hope other plagiarists out there take the message of. If they, of course, get away with it too often, that's why many do it. I expect it's more common among younger people, very young. Often teenagers might do something like this on a blog. But for a 55-year-old man, college professor, it's completely unacceptable. And this man needs to be censured, publicly censured, in the strongest possible fashion.
Okay.
And embarrassed.
Okay, well, we don't have to dwell on that topic now. I think everybody gets the message. And anybody that's out there that wants to borrow anybody else's research, be prepared to pay the price for doing that. you know, we don't charge you for this. This is what's interesting, although it's very conceivable that this has already begun being put into a book. So you've got that issue to deal with, Mr. Langbert. Now, more groundbreaking news. If I can shift gears for a moment, you know, I've come to the absolute conclusion, and my listening audience has heard this. Any new listeners out there tonight are going to hear this for the first time. And this is, in short, the Hegelian dialectic argument between Hawaii and Kenya. In which country was Barack Obama born? Well, that's like saying heads I win, tails you lose. It's a no-brainer that this you cannot prove a lie, and you cannot prove two lies. And what we can do is disprove what has been alleged, and that's been done in the research that we've just been talking about. And I am absolutely convinced, as are my publishers at the Idaho Observer, that we are witnessing the final act of this Hegelian dialectic, that the mainstream, upon my release of Part 7 of the Three Stooges Go to Washington, Parts A and B, and pointing out what this is, what it was intended to be, And the fact that you will not get a hearing in the Supreme Court over this. They will drag it out. They will, because they know it's a lie. They know both stories are a lie. How do I know that? My research proves that. And the way they're acting supports my research. You've got a Supreme Court justice that met face to face with Dr. Orley Tates, who filed the lawsuit. Phil Berg's suits have been thrown out of the court. He's been getting appeals into the court, and he's feeling that he's going to get this heard. And but what? Over the Kenya issue? I examined Orley Tate's submission of the Kenya birth certificate. It's a hoax, and it's a bad one. I've seen better designs on a roll of toilet paper, you know, when they make the ones that are dollar bills or little animals or something like that. There's more accuracy on a roll of toilet paper there than there is on this birth certificate. It's fraudulent from one end to the other. Unparalleled lines, disconnected lines, different fonts, words that wouldn't be used on such a document. The government seal at the top of the page, crooked. The lines crooked with the paper, whether vertical or horizontal. Just one thing after another, and they expect people to look at this and say, oh, there it is, that's the birth certificate. See, he's showing. Well, we thought, that we were told that the birth certificate is sealed in Hawaii. Why is it sealed? Why can't we see it? What is being hidden? Is it that no one cares about this, or that the OBOTs out there protecting this guy are going to come to his defense? No, we're dealing with total corruption. You might as well have Al Capone there, you know, just raise him out of the grave and put him in the White House, because you've got the same element. That's what this story is about. And so why would Orley Tate ask the Supreme Court to verify the authenticity of such a fraudulent document? I explained this on a radio show on Drew Raine's A Marine's Disquisition, and people all over the world understood exactly what I was describing. No one was doubting the authenticity of this, and they went to WorldNet Daily and downloaded or went to the site and looked at what they have posted there. They took a photograph of a Photoshop creation. The paper has unnatural foldings that are impossible to make. You can't have a convex and one concave and two convex folds on the same end of the piece of paper. It's impossible. It would have to continue through the whole document, the same folds, and it doesn't do that. Now, I know when you fold a piece of paper over and then fold it horizontally after having folded it vertically, that weird anomalies will appear, but they're consistent across that section of the paper. And there's only one of these marks, fold marks on the paper, the top center portion, which is totally bogus. And you have an anomaly of strange print right on that. the print is darker where the fold occurred. And when the paper separates, which was what a fold causes, it causes the molecules of the paper to become separated, and therefore the ink will get lighter, not darker. It doesn't compress it by folding it. It expands it. I don't care which way you fold it. The letter's not going to get darker. Font's changing from a typewriter. One font is a computer font, and another font is this bad-looking letter A that's dark every time. Now, that would be that a person hit the A key with their little finger, which is the weakest finger on the left hand. Even a piano player couldn't produce that consistent dark color unless they hit the key with a hammer. And so these are natural anomalies that appear on there. So why would Orley Tates do that? Well, you want to comment on this, Ken?
Well, actually, I was more interested in hearing you review the
document
areas you're pointing out, because I'm going to sort of do what you asked Jim Mirror to do a week or so ago. I really would like you to ventilate this issue, because you're more up to, you have the best insights on it. So I'd like you just to continue to.
Okay. Well, I could start at the top of the document, and if anyone wants to open up a page, just don't click off of bbsradio.com. If you're listening on the website, open up a new browser page and go to WorldNet Daily. And they have this on their home page. This is the big disclosure here. This is the revelation of the Kenyan birth certificate. Okay, starting at the top of the page. First of all, the page, let's describe this. Picture a full 8.5 by 11 or so. I don't know the exact size of this page, but I'm using a hypothetical example. Picture you writing a letter and then folding it so that it goes in an envelope, and you're going to mail it off to somebody in a legal size envelope. Okay, full sheet of paper. You fold it once from the bottom up toward the middle, and then you fold it once from the top down toward the middle. And you have three folds, two folds, but three sections of paper. Okay? This document appears to have that, but what's interesting is that it also has a set of three lines, which means two folds of the paper occurred lengthwise as well. And the lengthwise markings are concave throughout except the top center of the page. So where the top fold would have occurred horizontally, there's a vertical line in the middle that is concave. It's backwards. And you can tell because of phony shadowing that they put in there. A shadow does not appear on top of where light strikes. Shadows go where the light's not hitting it. And they're making it look like the light's hitting from the left, from the right side of this document. This document is sitting on some material which causes pixelation, which shows that it's a Photoshop compilation. They took a photograph of a Photoshop picture. No doubt about that, okay? And you have a herringbone pattern upon extreme magnification at the top of the page as well as on the right side. Why don't you have the herringbone pattern on the left side at the same magnification? Instead, a red line now begins to appear along the paper, showing bleed-through of the layer. That's what's happening here, okay? The layers, when they add these images, if they don't correct the light exactly, or the material that they're inserting into the new layer, it shows errors. And this has a red stripe all along the complete length of the left side of the document. The document was taken with a camera, and it makes it look like it was taken with a fisheye lens, as if they're closer to the bottom of the page, and somehow the top of the page has moved really far away. And when you've seen long shots of landscapes or buildings or something like this, to give you depth perception, they make an artist will draw a house that's close in the foreground. It'll be big. And the same size house put back in the background will get much smaller in the photo. But it's alluding to possibly 100 yards or a quarter of a mile or a mile or 2 miles away. You can see these things with your eyes. Eyes are capable easily of seeing up to 70 miles in clear weather. Anyone who's flown over the desert in the summertime over Las Vegas or anywhere over Nevada or Arizona or New Mexico, you can see for miles and miles and miles. And you see things pretty much in a proper perspective. The things that are right close to you don't suddenly get larger because they're close to you. As you approach objects, they come more into view, and so you see them clearer. But they don't change in size. They don't change in size unless you get closer to them. So you're in front of a piece of paper. How much is a paper going to change from one end to the other, sitting on a table right before your eyes or right before the camera lens? Not very much. But in this, it looks like this is a landscape of some kind of huge building, some huge factory, the way the front edge of the picture, which is the bottom, is tapering off towards the top. So you have these two angles coming from left and right bottom of the page, moving to the top, left and right. What's interesting is that the vertical lines do not match either side. Actually, they tend to, the vertical line on the document tends to follow the general pattern of the right side of the document, but it's more to the left. It's impossible for this to happen. Absolutely impossible for this to happen. No one could run a legitimate printing business and supply this paper to the government of any country, even Haiti or Bangladesh, that gets flooded every couple of months. You know, they get hit by tsunamis and thousands of people are dying in their floods. You could not produce this poor of a quality of paper even on Bangladesh. And yet, you have this in Kenya. Okay, the coast province words at the top of the page do not follow parallel to the top of the page. The paper's edge is not squared with the words at the top of this page. It's absurd what's written here. I haven't even measured anything. I could measure for accuracy of dimensions because you would center this, but it doesn't matter. It's tilted like the house was in the Stanley Armour Dunham photo, the army uniform with the Marine hat. You remember that one and the Marine belt? Yes. That phony house in the background that's tilted at 22.5 degrees. And when you upright the picture so that the walls of the house are perpendicular to the ground, the porch starts going up at about a 12, 13 degree angle. So it's photoshopped. This is a photoshopped document from one end to the other. And you mean to tell me Dr. Orley Tate's dentist, Dr. Orley Tate's attorney, Dr. Orley Tate's, oh, she happens to be a realtor also. Remember, money laundering is involved in all of this scandal, too. Dr. Tate's, and I'm not saying she's a money launderer, I just find it really interesting that all these players are into real estate, that they all have aliases or that they can be associated with Obama's business network. This document is so fraudulent, I wouldn't take it to a cross-eyed seamstress to ask her if it was straight. Okay? And still, she's going to put this before the Supreme Court? This is a farce. This is insulting the intelligence of every person that was born in the United States of America, and really anyone that was legitimately born in any other country of the world. The fonts change from one color or one thickness or one consistency to another. Pixelation is occurring on this document without even enlarging it, from letter to letter. You can see this. You can see anomalies in places where words are. There are things that are showing up that shouldn't be there. They're hidden to the naked eye, but extreme magnification shows these things. You have the letter A, as I mentioned, consistently coming up as if there's a characteristic about this typewriter that it prints a dark A, that somehow the ribbon has the ability to make the A darker than any other letter on the typewriter. That doesn't happen. That's a sign of a bad ribbon, and that would be that every time you type that A, you went to the same part of the ribbon that allowed that print to go through. It's phony. It's absolutely phony. You've got a field near the top on the second entry on the left side, Christian name or names. And they put Barack Hussein II. Now, this is to legitimize his claim of being a Christian, yet let us not forget his ABC TV interview, and I think you have this posted on your site, Ken, if I'm not mistaken, where he alleges that Saddam Hussein didn't bring up, make an issue of his Muslim religion. That came out in that interview. That's not the kind of statement anybody would make outside of their own religion if it was other than Muslim. Mm-hmm. And it really doesn't matter other than he's claiming he's a Christian and then he had a Freudian slip. He let the cat out of the bag and used the M word. Okay? Basically, going through this whole document, you know, they're saying Honolulu, Hawaii. But on his Indonesian school records, it says Honolulu, USA on the Indonesian document. And that's a phony document, too, by the way. The stock, the paper stock is reversed. The watermark of the paper, the official school paper, proclaims he's a Muslim. Now, here we have a Christian name and a Muslim religion. You know, this is phony. This is to perpetuate the Hegelian dialectic and nothing more than that. The bottom of the document. Oh, we have an M.R. Miller. That's a common name, by the way, in Kenya. Miller. I guess, what is that? Irish? Is that an Irish Kenyan
English,
name?
English, Irish.
I'm being a bit facetious. Well, you know, in German it would be Müller, okay? What is most interesting about this is this deputy registrar who's letter D and is sitting on the letter O in the name Oduya. He signs his signature real sloppy. He doesn't sign Joshua Simon Oduya. He just signs Oduya with this little scribble at the end, okay? Above his handwritten signature, which is, by the way, the only place where it says, where there is a signature, the registrar didn't sign it. And we'll get into that in a moment. But this day of this document is the 17th day of February, 1964. I don't get it. What does 1964 have to do with this? Now, there's a signature of a registrar further up in the document, and his letters are just jumping all over the page. E-F or E-P, it's a little bit difficult. Let me look with a magnifying glass. It's E.F. Lavender. That is another, I guess, a very common Kenyan name. E.F. Lavender is the signature of registrar, but it's typed. There is no signature. This is absolutely fraudulent, and this document was registered the 6th of August is the date of registration, even though he claims he was born on the 4th. And then there's another registration date at the bottom that says, just a little bit lower, entered at the district registry office the 9th day of August, 1961. And this gets signed on the 17th day of February, 1964. What is wrong with that problem? What's interesting about these two dates, these 2 years, is Michael Rockefeller, as is disclosed in Part 7 of The Three Stooges Go to Washington, allegedly disappeared in November of 1961, and the Dead Birds movie that he supposedly recorded the sound in came out in 1964. So we have 1961 and 1964 again in a document. Why is that? Really, it should raise some questions. But this is a fraud. There is absolutely no doubt about this, Ken. Absolutely no doubt.
Right. Let's repeat something that you had intuitively stated or psychically gleaned a year ago, perhaps, maybe a little more. He was born in Indonesia, you felt.
Yes, from the get-go.
We recently had a confirmation from General Jeremiah on July 28th. He had an intelligence team research the subject. They said he was born in Denpasar,
Bali.
Bali.
Yeah.
The island of Bali, which is part of Indonesia.
Yeah, it's a province called Bandung. Okay.
Okay.
Bandung. That would be like a county in the United States.
Yeah.
The Bandung province. Denpasar is the city of about 170,000.
So let's for a moment assume...
Well, yeah, what he said is there's a record there, okay?
Yes.
That's what he said. You'll find a record there.
Yes.
Okay.
For a moment, assume you're teaching a class. And so assume the students don't know, you know, what you know about this topic.
Mm-hmm.
How would you explain the purposes of the Hegelian dialectic? Why use that strategy? What is gained by the manipulators?
It's misdirection, number one. They have us looking in two places, and they can call anybody that promotes this story of Kenya, a Kenya birth, as a conspiracy theorist, as a birther. These are the terms they're using on the Internet, right? This is the mainstream spin coming out. Birther. What does that mean, a birther? What? But that I question where, or you or any of us question where somebody claims they were born because they cannot provide documentation. They refuse to provide documentation. The corrupt election commission refuses to demand the proper documentation. The phony, corrupt political parties, their committees, the Democratic National Committee, and the Republican National Committee does not demand that he do this either. I mean, what kind of game are we playing here? You know, this is just. Well, let's just lie, and let's just keep lying, and let's protect it with the army. You know, and if somebody gets too close to the truth, let's kill them. Let's let them commit suicide, is what they like to call it. Okay. All right, so this is misdirection, so we're arguing. We're spending half an hour, 45 minutes of the show on this topic, right? But we're putting it to bed. We're putting it to rest because the Hegelian dialectic is a philosophical discussion over two opposite possibilities that absorb the consciousness and the rational thinking and engage two opposing factions in a dialogue as to which one is real, when in actuality, they're both false. They're intentionally false so that you can pull something else off, okay? In other words, you say, well, snow is hot because it only comes down in the winter. Therefore, winters must be cold. That's a Hegelian dialectic. Neither side makes sense. And one side's going to say, well, it's always cold in the winter. No, it isn't always cold in the winter. But it doesn't always snow in the winter either, you see? And snow being hot is a perception. Some people, it stings. To other people, it freezes their fingers. All right? So it's all perception. So they have people arguing over their perceptions. On what? On the facts that they gave us? I've debunked the facts. I've debunked the autobiography. I've debunked the pictures. I've debunked the documents. What else is there to talk about this clown? This usurper, this phony, this fraud, this long-legged Mac Daddy, as Reverend James David Manning calls him. What is it about the American people that they so much want to believe in a lie that they're willing to let their country be destroyed? That's what's really going on. That's the Hegelian dialectic, okay? While that's going on, they're hiding all the proof of Obama having been from Indonesia. And we know to some extent that he was there. But the story that supports that is a lie. Okay? Why did they fake Michael Rockefeller's death? There's another Hegelian dialectic. That A, he was eaten by sharks, B, he was eaten by crocodiles, or C, he was eaten by headhunters, cannibals. Why does a person who's lost have to be eaten by anything? But that's the Hegelian dialectic. In the Marx mode, in the Marx model, Karl Marx took Hegel's teaching and made it a materialism dialectical argument, or a materialist argument. So you could have, you could attack, as the one perpetrating the deed, you could attack an army. Let's say you're the German army, the Nazis. You attack Poland and you blame it on England. And then you attack England and you blame it on Poland. How do you pull it off? You wear Polish uniforms when you attack England, and you wear British uniforms when you attack Poland. That's all they have to do. It's the perception. It makes people think, well, they were wearing British uniforms. It had to be the British. Otto Skorzeny rescued Mussolini by flying into a prison, okay, at the top of a mountain. I mean, it was inaccessible to get to him, and he flew in on gliders, okay? He attacked and killed many Americans by dressing up like an American, and they let him off at Nuremberg. Why? Because he was an intelligence asset. He was one of the biggest assassins ever known. And he had rescued people that they were going to carry on as they started their Fourth Reich here in the United States under the CIA. And it's exactly what they did. And everybody just fell asleep and let it happen. And they said that they were going to do this with Russia. T.H. Teetons wrote about this in his book, Germany Plots with the Kremlin. You can get that book free online. It's a free PDF download. And that came on the heels of the discovery of the Madrid Circular in 1950. Do you think it's a coincidence that this so-called ship full of refugees from all over Europe, from a fictitious prison camp at Bagnoli, Italy, which is not a city. Bagnola is the name of the city, not Bagnoli. But they made up this date five years after the conclusion of World War II. They released these people from a prison camp that didn't exist. There were spies, and I found the Dunhams in there, okay? So this stuff is trackable if you get outside the dialectic. I didn't find that by studying their story. I debunked their story. And now I knew I had to look elsewhere. And when I looked at Indonesia, I found, there's another Rockefeller connection, Michael Rockefeller. Let's look at Michael Rockefeller's pictures. Let's look at his story. And let's examine it the same way I did Barack Obama's book, Stanley Ann Dunham's story, Madeline Dunham's story, Stanley Armour Dunham's story, and everybody else. And the only connection I could make with Hawaii and Obama or Dunham was the Bank of Hawaii. The Dunham name was married into the Bishop family. That was the founding family of the first Hawaiian bank, which became the Bank of Hawaii, when Charles Lufkin bought it from Charles Reed Bishop. And then he sold it to Smith Klein. Now you have a pharmaceutical company owning the Bank of Hawaii. And what is interesting about Orly Tates is that her husband's company works with a pharmaceutical company. This is a new discovery I made today, by the way. So I wanted to cover this thing about the birth certificate because it's preposterous that she's presenting this fictitious document to the Supreme Court, or that WorldNet Daily has it posted, and they say that they compared it to a genuine birth certificate, and it looks genuine. How do we know that? We didn't see them compare it to it. And I have to tell you, this is phony. So the other one had to be phony if it looked just like this. That's the only conclusion I can come to. Let's be reasonable. Let's use some logic here. Are you following me so far, Ken?
Right.
Okay.
I wanted you to ventilate that. I'm happy to use this time because I know you don't get the chance to do it enough when you're interviewing others. And it's so important. It's at the heart of their techniques to deceive the public.
Misdirection is the technique of the Hegelian dialectic. Okay?
Right.
It's like a magic trick. You know, you watch the guy's hands because he tells you that's how he, if he's not doing it with his left hand, he must be doing it with his right hand. So you watch both hands, and you don't see him do something with his feet. Okay? Or his nose, or his chin. Or you don't even consider the possibility that nothing even happened. That something already was where it needed to be before the trick was even performed. you know, putting a coin behind one's ear, for example. I mean, the coin could have been behind the ear all along. But you're thinking, you're led to believe, because of misdirection, you're led to believe that what you're seeing is real. And for some reason, Americans, but people all over the world, really, Americans have a difficult time accepting anything that they don't see on TV or anything that they haven't seen in the movies. They actually begin worshiping what they see on this big screen because it's larger than life. It overwhelms their consciousness and their minds. It dwarfs their imagination. And so we make stars out of these people, whether they're playing sports or whether they're in music or art or the movie business. It really doesn't matter what field they're in. When they present it with lights and loud sound and lots of color, lots of imagery, it affects people. Okay? What did they show you of substance about Barack Obama to cause you to think that he's who he says he is? Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing. In fact, the things that I presented are more real than anything his whole team has presented.
Exactly.
Exactly, right? Okay? And this is not ego talking. This is fact.
Right.
It's my observation.
Yeah, that's why I wanted you to emphasize it. In the last 5 minutes, again, assume you're lecturing to a student body who doesn't know anything about the topic. In part 6, just explain, very simple explanation, what elements in the photo of Barack with his supposed grandparents sitting on the park bench, what elements are photoshopped in there that anyone can see?
Everything.
Just review the 2 or 3 or 4 glaring examples.
Okay, where they're sitting in the park I located would be, it's implying that it's in the neighborhood of Central Park South. In the background should be water behind where they're sitting, okay? It is not. It is trees, okay? Those trees don't exist there. That's all a Photoshop creation. Mm-hmm. The bench is phony, okay, that they're sitting on. The lighting coming through the trees is phony because the trees are phony. They're not really there. Now, in addition to that, you have these three characters, Stanley Armour Dunham, Barack Obama, and Madeline Dunham, his grandparents, sitting with him. They're there for his graduation from Columbia University, and this is supposed to be in 1983. It's a fall picture. The leaves are turning. They're wearing jackets. It's a fall picture, and it's occurring with Barack Obama wearing his wedding ring, which he didn't get until 1992. So you have
nine years before 1983.
Yes. You have an anachronism in this picture. It's like seeing a wristwatch in a Shakespearean play. That's the best way I can describe it. They didn't have wristwatches in those days. So if you're watching a Shakespearean play or a movie depicting that time and you see a character wearing a wristwatch, you know, it's somebody goofed. There's something in the movie that shouldn't be there. Well, he's wearing the same ring, and I show a close-up with his hand around his throat, so you can see a close-up of that ring. It's the same ring. Okay? It's a Photoshop image. It wasn't from 1983. And you have the grandfather there. The way his anatomy is structured, he has to have 3 arms and 3 hands, but you only see 2 hands. One hand floats in the air over Barack's shoulder as if he was placing his arm over his shoulder, and the picture was snapped. Now, there's some problems because the left side of his suit and his pants doesn't match. The suit jacket and pants don't match the right side color-wise. Neither does Madeline's right side of her coat match the left side. In fact, the lapel is all out of whack. The buttonholes don't line up. Barack's pants are extremely darkened intentionally in the released photo. And when you brighten the photo slightly to see more detail of what is unnaturally being blackened in the photo, you can see that Barack's left leg protrudes 6 inches further out at the knee than the right leg. And his he's sitting in a way that this is anatomically impossible. Besides that, his pants are multicolored. His pants on his left leg look like two-tone bell bottoms, sort of a charcoal gray and a black. As it moves up to his knee, and I'm not looking at the photo. I've got this memorized, okay? His pants turn black, and then about mid to two-thirds of the way up his thigh, all of a sudden it looks like he's wearing riding pants, like he's going, you know, chaps. It looks like he's going horseback riding. And then the crotch area is a different material again. So it looks like the leg was assembled in 3 to 4 pieces on that photo. To get it in there just right so you can put all three characters together. And they goofed. They made major mistakes all over the place. Even the wall is not right. The wall is leaning downward, downhill. The bench is leaning downhill. And these people are sitting up straight on a bench that's leaning down. Come on. It's just phony from one end to the other. But the three arms on the grandpa, that really sticks out. Barack's left leg is at least six inches longer. I'm guesstimating it visually. But it appears to be about 6 inches longer, up to the knee. The thigh up to the knee is 6 inches longer than the right leg. That would be a very, very severe limp. It'd make it very difficult to walk. I don't know about you. Put on a 6-inch clog on your left foot and try to walk around barefoot on your other foot and see how easy it is to walk. That's what he would look like walking. But we don't think of these things. We don't look at these things carefully enough. We see a picture, oh, yeah, there he is with his grandparents. But when you examine the picture very, very closely, you can see these images have been inserted, and you can even see in what order they have been inserted. But the telltale sign is that Barack is wearing his wedding ring. Now, what is the significance of that? A man who supposedly died on February 8th of 92 could not be in a picture that would have been taken after October 18th of 1992. The father, the grandfather, and the ring should not be in the picture together, is what I'm saying. Grandfather would have been dead at the time Barack had that ring. It's phony. It's a phony photograph.
How can people see the photo you've been describing for the last 5 minutes?
It's on my website. It's at directlightproductions.com. You click on articles, and I believe I analyze that in the photo section. Did I not?
It's in part six.
Yeah. Just click on part six of the Three Stooges Go to Washington. It's in there. The analysis that I just gave you is in there. I don't think I skipped anything. Shadows are very unnatural. I talk about the colors of the jackets. And when you see, with proper light adjustment, you know, when you change contrast, it changes the contrast of the whole picture, not just one item. When you're layering these things, they can play with it whatever the way they want. They change the color of the compilation that they're adding to it, and that masks it. And then they play with the overall color and the overall levels of contrast and brightness and all of those little details, depending on what program they're using. But they use the same technique to produce the classes at the Punahou School. Likely, none of those pictures in those Punahou School classroom pictures are real people that were at the Punahou School. This is why you won't get anybody coming forward, unless they've found a way to silence them. You won't get anybody coming forward saying, that's not Barack Obama, or he wasn't there. You're not going to hear that, because this is a highly funded, highly controlled operation. This is about somebody wanting to take over a country. Do you understand the level of secrecy and the level of control that occurred to try to pull this off? And people may think I'm insane to talk about this and to point this out, but you know what? I love my country. I love my country. And it's not his country. And that should sink into the consciousness of everybody, what I just said.
Well, you just did the show that I wanted to do. So that's why I wanted you to essentially say what you had to say.
Well, there is one more point.
Okay,
I want to bring up, and I didn't know you were going to host my show tonight, but you're doing a great job.
And then you could wrap up the show.
This talk about the birth certificate and Orley Tates. You know, when you get a gut feeling about something, and things start not feeling right, not sounding right, and I got three sets of pictures emailed to Orley Tates. They know this because they look at my email and they look at hers. Or they just look at mine and she tells us they look at hers. She had complained in the past few weeks that she had undergone attempts on her life, that she had found brake lines or gas lines or something, some tampering with her car and her husband's car. Okay? And that didn't ring true to me. I can only express how I feel. Okay? It didn't sound true to me. And so I did my usual research, my thorough research, and I started looking at some things, and I started noticing that Dr. Tate has been living in the same general area where the original real estate money laundering scams are going on. In my earlier articles, in part 4 and part 5, I began seeing the same pattern there. And so I said to myself, let's see what I can find under Dr. Tate's. Well, everything is going to be about this case, so you're not going to find anything like that out there. It's been scrubbed. But there's an interesting thing on her husband, Yosef. And the name is probably pronounced Yosef Tites, not Tates. In the part of the world they're from, they would probably say Tites. Yosef Tites. He is the chief executive officer of a company called Daylight Chemical Information Systems in Mission Viejo, California, Santa Fe, New Mexico, and Cambridge, England. This is quite an interesting little piece of information here, because you have this feeling, according to Dr. Tate, she came to America to have a better life and to get away from communism. So you have this impression she was a refugee, and she's taking this stand because she's fighting communism for all of us Americans. She loves us that much, okay? Now let's look at her husband. This is his company, and I want to read something to you that I found, dated July 14th. So it's a couple of weeks over 9 years ago, 2000. Daylight Chemical Information Systems, Inc., USA, today introduces a new addition to the array of Daylight software products, Daycart, trademark, an application using the unique extensibility features of Oracle 8i, trademark, designed to fully integrate the molecular structures and reactions in an Oracle 8i database server environment. As an integrated module, Daycart does not require any call-outs or other operations outside of the Oracle server in order to perform its functions. Daycart delivers the speed, capacity, and performance of Daylight tools throughout the organization. Use of Daycart with the Oracle 8.1 server unlocks the access of existing Oracle applications and tools, such as SQL, SQL, Java, C, etc., to the array of chemical information. Now, the next sentence is very, very interesting. Daycart was developed in close collaboration with Novartis scientists and the architects of Oracle 8i's extensibility framework. Who is Novartis, Ken?
Yeah, the vaccine producer, swine flu.
This is the swine flu, bird flu patent holder, right? From Switzerland. Correct?
Right.
Okay. So since for the last 9 years, Mr. Orley Tates, Yosef or Tites, Josef Teitz, has been working with the company that's planning on spreading a pandemic and mass murdering, what, 6 billion people, 6.2 billion people, something like that, to bring it down to half a billion, to 500 million? Okay, I found this on a Chinese website, by the way, this article. Interesting, because we were talking, and Dr. H.U. Ott, around the Olympics last year, was talking about a pandemic that was going to occur in China. This is just connect the dots research. Now, to go a bit into a little bit and talk about what this technology can do, I'm going to read another sentence from that same paragraph a little bit further down. Today, Descartes delivers an extensive range of chemical information capabilities, such as fast direct storage and retrieval of 2D and 3D structures, reactions, and mixtures. Okay? This is for pharmaceutical and chemical companies that they're doing this. Obviously, Novartis is a pharmaceutical company. I've seen in the past 3 years of my research, numerous sites, probably stuff I wouldn't have found if I hadn't been doing the kind of research I was doing, where I've discovered many, many labs in England are doing biowarfare experiments. They're doing nanotechnology, and they're talking about stuff that just will completely take over people. Okay, it's the only way I can describe it. This is the software that runs these programs. To measure, to recreate, to analyze, and then create these systems and keep them working. All right. Now, this is the person that's fighting for Barack Obama's, or the husband of the person who's fighting for Barack Obama's citizenship papers. No, this is a ruse. This is part of the Hegelian dialectic. People that are in that fight are there for our attention. This is another dimension of misdirection.
Mm-hmm.
This is why Orly Tate said 3 times she didn't receive my pictures. When I got my own copy.
Right.
Find it interesting.
Very.
Okay, now, one more sentence. This technology empowers users to bridge and expand the horizons of chemical information science, merge biological and chemical data. Why would you want to do that? And provide solutions for data warehousing, compound acquisition, and more. Now, this article goes on quite a bit more, but this is a needle in the haystack that really has become already an elephant, if not a whale. And I'm going to ask those students out there that you asked me to talk to consider this, that this is someone who has said that they're fleeing communism. By the way, our other character that we talked about at the top of the show has communist connections too, through a sister who is a principal attorney in the New York State Supreme Court, and was a former judge. I've got a document where she says she was raised in a communist household. So I have to trust that kind of sticks with you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what can I say? What more? What more can I say?
Well, I think you've done it very well. I'd like to just leave the show at a wrap right there.
You were okay. You didn't know you were going to be the host tonight, did you, Ken?
Well, no, but I wanted this to be covered, so you're the guy to do it.
All righty. Well, we're probably going to discuss this in a wider vein tomorrow night. My special guest is going to be my publisher, editor at the Idaho Observer, Mr. Don Harkins. And that's going to be an interesting show. Be interesting to see what mainstream media does now, folks, because this is being kept out of the mainstream. In fact, my research is the reason why they brought the Kenyan aspect of this dialectical argument onto the mainstream network now. It started the day after I released part 7 of the Three Stooges Go to Washington. That is not a coincidence. It is not a coincidence. And with any luck, we will get some birth certificate information on Mr. Obama Satoru Rockefeller, whatever you want to call him. So, Ken, any closing comments before we call it tonight?
No, I just want to thank you for covering what you did tonight, and I look forward to the next chapter of this amazing odyssey.
Okay. I think let's take a quick look here. I'm going to let the audience know when you're going to be on next. We're going to let you pick the topic next time. Let's see. You're coming back. When are you coming back? My goodness. When are you coming back?
It's a Wednesday.
Okay, you're back on the 12th. Wednesday the 12th. Okay, so okay. You'll be back with us next week. Well, I wish you a great week, and I'm sure we'll be in touch and following events as they unfold. I thank you for all your help, and you're pointing me in the direction of someone's despicable acts, you know, on a website, and we're going to nip it in the bud, believe me. I appreciate your help, and I'm sure the listening audience does, too.
So,
we're going to say goodnight, folks. You've been listening to Evident Footprints on BBS Radio and our special guest, Ken Adachi. Please go to Ken's website. You owe it to yourself to educate yourself. Go to educate-yourself.org and check out his site. He's got lots of great articles there. He's got his own photo analysis of Barack and Michelle Obama. It's a dynamite article. You've got to check it out because... It starts answering some questions. It's going to raise a lot of questions, new ones too, but it answers some questions. Special thanks to Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, Seth Hendrick on the sound, and most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Special thanks go to blogtalkradio.com on the internet, as well as Wind Talkers Radio Network, again, around the world. Our blessings and our best wishes for your safety and safe return home to all of you in the U.S. military throughout the world. And we thank you for what you're doing for our country. And for you out there in the listening audience, have a night or a day filled with peace, love, and light. And for those of you in America, have a good night.